This is 89.9 WWNL. Yes, we're headed for another art-filled week. Are you making plans or do you need some ideas? Well, you've come to the right place. Whether you're in the mood for an immersive experience exploring global cultural identities, or a stage adventure where beloved characters from an award-winning children's book comes to life, it's all in the mixed media. Come along as we go inside the arts. Hi, I'm your host, Diane Mack. The New Orleans Museum of Art's much-anticipated summer exhibit, Bodies of Knowledge, opens this week. The International Contemporary Art Exhibition is an immersive presentation incorporating original dance, film, music, and gallery talks, exploring the role language plays in archiving global cultural identities. Co-curator Katie Fole joins us with internationally renowned dancer, choreographer, and actor Edward Spotts. Welcome to Inside the Arts.
Thank you
for having us.
There are a lot of moving parts with this exhibit. Katie, let's begin with you. How did the idea for this body of contemporary art come about?
Well, you know, over the course of the last year or so, we've just been at the museum noticing a lot of conversations occurring surrounding questions of cultural memory and preserving history, and many people thinking about the role that the arts play in helping us think about how we understand our own identities, the identities of our cities and our families and our neighbors, as well as our broader cultural identities. And within that conversation, we realized that there was this really exciting opportunity to bring it to a more global level, to think about the conversations that are happening in New Orleans and in the broader American South in a truly global light, thinking about the way that artists all across the world are engaging with similar questions surrounding how we record and remember our pasts. So we thought, let's invite artists who come from all across the globe who are thinking about these questions, from Iraq and South Africa to the Middle East and Latin America. So it's a really, I think, exciting chance to bring together a really exciting group of emerging contemporary artists on this topic.
Is this a milestone exhibit for the museum?
You know, it's the first exhibition of this kind that we've done where we've really brought together a global range of voices on a theme in this way. And I think one of the things that I'm the most excited about the show is that we've really broadened our perspective on the arts to encompass not just visual arts, but artists working with writing and text, with dance and performance, and with music, to think about all of these different forms of knowledge and the way that our bodies hold and keep knowledge through mediums like dance, as well as the way music is its own kind of text or script that is kind of constantly reinterpreted and re-envisioned in this global context. And I think it's really exciting because in many ways, you know, even though this is a very global set of voices, a lot of them are really reflecting on issues that are so pertinent to this city. And also, I think the show in general is kind of framing creativity in a way that feels very connected to New Orleans, which is, of course, a place in which cultural heritage is preserved in all of these media that are operating simultaneously, whether it's music and costume and dance and food and all of these things. So I think we're really excited to bring a sort of new, more expansive approach to creative practice into the museum with this show.
Edward, you wear many hats, and you will set the tone on opening night with a site-specific dance performance. Tell us, what will you perform?
I have set work and partnered with Dancing Grounds, and me and Donna Crump have set this piece called Black Magic. And Black Magic has 5 sections. It's just been a big joy and honor to work with the kids. They have contributed so much of their own personalities and artistic to the piece. I have not only listened to the kids' voices about what they want to say, but I also use my own choreography. And the collaborative between the kids and me and Donna have been so beautiful that we have now created these sections that are really going to make people feel something. And what's really exciting is how we've taken the space of NOMA and used it to make it into a theater. The entrance and exits alone will blow you away. So Black Magic consists of 5 sections: Black Suffering, Black Anger, Black Beauty, Black Love, and Black Joy. One of my favorite sections in this piece, of course, is Black Joy. And I think it's my favorite because the way the kids light up when they hear the music, the way they take my choreography and really nail it, you really feel the excitement towards the end. And then before Black Joy happens, I'm dancing with Donna Crump in this beautiful duet to the music from the movie Beale Street called Agape. It really touches your heart. And also, Donna's pregnant. I think that's another layer that adds to the duet. This is the first time I feel like I'm in a duet where it feels kind of fragile and precious. And it kind of goes beautiful with the music Agape. And if you hear that music, it really serenades you. The kids at Dancing Grounds are phenomenal. And I also admire their professionalism. And especially now in our city, in New Orleans, to be working with our youth, and especially, you know, the kids of color, to see their light, their joy, their professionalism, and their maturity, it makes you realize how much we need to showcase this more, because it's just not shown enough. Partnering with Dancing Grounds has been the best part about this experience, if not getting the chance to tell our story at the NOMA.
And you were outside of the museum. You actually are greeting people, welcoming them into
yes,
the
ma'am.
Exhibit.
In the first section, there's going to be a guy carrying the American flag running down the street to let people into the museum to start this big production. And I want to symbolize that flag as a freedom flag as he runs in, and a freedom and to tell the story.
And Katie, who are some of the other artists represented in the exhibit?
One of the artists I think I'm most excited to show, although they're all fabulous, is the Iraqi artist Wafa Bilal. He will be doing this interactive installation for the museum that attempts to restock the lost libraries of Baghdad, which were burned during the war. So we have a large bookshelf filled with 500 blank books, and we're inviting everyone that comes to visit the show to donate a book to this library and take a blank book in return. And at the close of the exhibition, all of the books that we receive as donations will be sent to Baghdad to restock the lost library. And our idea in doing that is to really think not just, you know, about some of these lost histories, but rather how we can all play a role in telling new stories and rewriting our past and shedding light on aspects of the city of this history as well as global histories, and think about the way that we're all really connected and how our individual small actions can add up to something really big, with the idea being that there are remarkable and really beautiful connections that exist between places like New Orleans and Baghdad, and that if we can kind of connect people through the act of reading, through the act of sharing and telling stories, with sharing knowledge, that this can be a way for the museum to be a platform, not just for art, but for broader cultural conversations about how we're all connected across place and time and era. One of the other pieces that we're really excited to share at NOMA is a work by the artist Adriana Corral. She is a Houston-based artist who has spent the last several years collaborating with the human rights lawyer to draw attention to violence against women, and particularly the disappearance of women along the U.S.-Mexico border. So she's worked with the human rights attorney to unearth these stories of women who have in large measure not been discussed or dealt with politically in Mexico or in the U.S. And she seeks to, in her project, really draw attention to this epidemic violence against women that's happening on the U.S.-Mexico border, and also to really honor the women who, in large measure, have not been given kind of proper acknowledgement. In her piece, she has recorded all of these women that have been disappeared along the border, and then she writes their names on the wall of the museum. In writing them, she's also kind of obscuring the names. There's still names that have not been released or discussed publicly, and so it's really her effort to kind of draw attention to what's happening on the U.S.-Mexico border, as well as to really think about the ways that art can be a tool to shed light on aspects of our history and our contemporary politics that often remain untold. There's a whole range of media. We have photography in the installation. We have film and video. We have artists that are doing site-specific installations where they're actually writing or applying things onto the wall. So it really exists as a kind of series of spaces or experiences that unfold as you walk through the galleries. But in addition to that, we really want not just to kind of show language as this living document, but for people that come through the show to think about their own bodies in relationship to space. You will see this wonderful French-Moroccan musician who lives in the city, Mahmoud Chouki, doing a series of performances both on Friday nights and at various intervals just within the galleries. So he'll be wandering around playing music. We have a really interesting electronic musician, Justin Peake, who's working with a French artist in town, Manon Bellet, to create what we're calling these activations, where he'll be playing in front of her artwork and the artwork will change in response to the music. So we're really kind of thinking about the exhibition itself as this kind of platform for conversation, for dance and music, and for all kinds of different activities and events to unfold in the space.
It seems to me that a visitor seeing the exhibit once is not going to see the same exhibit upon a second visit.
That's the other trick to the show, is that we're hoping people will realize they need to come back to see all of the different things that are happening over the run of the exhibition. A number of the artworks within the show will change over the course of the exhibition.
What is the universal conversation you hope to start among viewers of bodies of knowledge, and why is that so important now?
I think, you know, at the core of this exhibition is an idea of really asking people to think about the power of storytelling and the power of one's own story and what it can mean to harness one's history and identity and sort of use that as a tool, not just to kind of promote one's own history and family and identity, but also to reach across to different countries and cultures and spaces and people of different political persuasions or different stripes, all of these things, to kind of ask us to think about the ways in which our stories can be a tool not just to divine ourselves, but also to open ourselves up out into the broader world.
Exhibit co-curator Katie Full and renowned dancer, choreographer, and actor Edward Spotts. It's been a pleasure talking with you.
Thank you so much.
Bodies of Knowledge, an international contemporary art exhibition, opens Friday, June 28th and runs through October 13th at the New Orleans Museum of Art. Friday's opening night performance of Black Magic begins promptly at 5 p.m. It is a one-time only performance. You're listening to Inside the Arts on 89.9 WWNO, New Orleans Public Radio. I'm Diane Mack. And now we're doing laundry with a beloved character from New Orleans children's author Mo Willems. Southern Rep presents Knuffle Bunny, a cautionary musical based on the Caldecott Honor-winning picture book. Southern Rep's education director Helen Jacks and director Alex Smith are here. Welcome to the program.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks. So glad to be here.
The very name, Knuffle Bunny, makes me giggle. Knuffle. I know the word knuckle, duffle, sniffle, ruffle, baffle, but what is a Knuffle Bunny?
That's a great question.
That is an excellent question. As far as I'm concerned, a Knuffle Bunny, as the dictionary defines it, is a stuffed green bunny named Knuffle Bunny. There's not really much more reference material than that.
I think it's wonderful because I think it captures the spirit of young people who take ownership of the things that they love and name them with a logic that makes sense to them. And I love it because the main little girl in the play, her name is Trixie, she can't say real words just yet throughout the play. So you'll hear her say, aggle, flaggle, clavel, and you'll hear her say, nerpy, narf. And so I think Knuffle Bunny is her way of naming this bunny. And I think it makes total sense to Trixie, even if it's hard for us to understand.
Aha. And why are we going to a laundromat?
Trixie has a wonderful father and a wonderful mother named Dad and Mom. And Dad has decided that he's going to help out around the house. He's been trying to help out around the house for a while. And today's mission is to do a load of laundry at the laundromat. And he's going to take Trixie with him. He's going to give her an adventure and show her the city and all the sights and sounds. She's just about old enough to go on a walk with Dad. It turns out to be slightly disastrous, but that's half of the fun. So we're on our way to the laundromat to do just one load of laundry, which sounds so simple and so easy to accomplish and turns out to be quite the trial.
So tell us more about the cautionary tale that unfolds.
I think it's about reminding families to listen to their kids when they have important things to say. When Knuffle Bunny is lost at the laundromat during this laundry adventure, she tries to communicate to her dad and say how upset she is and to help her find Knuffle Bunny, but he doesn't understand and kind of just dismisses it as babble and, oh, she's just upset and I'm not sure why and let's just go home. But really, she's trying to communicate. So I think the cautionary tale is about the importance of listening to what kids have to say.
And it actually kind of makes for, in my opinion, two of the loveliest moments in the play where Trixie is throwing a fit. She's having a temper tantrum. She's a wee one. She's still having some temper problems. She's aggle, flaggle, clabble, which, of course, our Trixie has translated all of the gibberish that Trixie says into what she thinks her character is saying, which comes across beautifully. And at one point, Dad's like, I don't understand you. I can't understand you. Why can't you just talk? Why can't you just say daddy? And, of course, that doesn't come down to it. And he's like, what's wrong with you? And she has this beautiful ballad, completely in gibberish, that she sings to the crowd. And it's just so much fun and so adorable. And then later on, as Dad is really expressing his frustrations with not being able to communicate with his kid, his kiddo, his child, his progeny, part of his family, he has this beautiful song that he sings to her about how he really loves you. He's like, I really love you, but I just can't understand you. And even when you grow up, I'm still not going to understand you, but I hope you know that you can always call me to cry too. So it's also alluding to the fact that I won't understand teenagers either. Like, I'm not going to understand your generation, but know that I love you. And maybe we don't have to understand each other for you to know that I love you. And it's just so sweet. It's so much fun.
And I think what's really fun about this show, too, so we have Mom, Dad, and Trixie as the trio in the center, but we also have four puppeteers who play tons of other characters. And so they play the mailbox that they pass, you know, in the street, and they play the pigeon from Mo Willems' other book, Don't Let the Pigeon Drive the Bus, who is a puppet. And they play a giant set of boxers who gets a wedgie when Dad is trying to fight the monsters to get Knuffle Bunny back. And so it's a really big, beautiful ensemble piece. And what I love about Alex as a director is he himself has a lot of training in clown and physical theater. So all of these actors are bringing their full physicality to every moment, which for kids' theater, I think is super important.
No doubt the production is going to entertain youngsters going along on this heartwarming adventure. The actors come from the company's intern program. Tell us more about that educational component of the theater company.
So every summer we have an intern company that's made up of college age or just out of college age folks from all over the city and beyond. So this year, a lot of them grew up here or in Baton Rouge and are either going to school here in town or are home for the summer. And it's really important for us to give them three different components to their experience as interns. So they get to teach in our summer camps. So they're teachers and teaching artists. And then they get to perform in Knuffle Bunny. And I feel like it's a completely different skill than potentially, let's say, Shakespeare or performing a straight play, how to perform for young people and their families, because you've got to be on your toes. You've got to be ready to improv when, you know, the little kid yells back, "That's not Knuffle Bunny." And you have to be like, "Of course it is. Here we go." And you take them on that adventure. And then they also create an original showcase piece that they devise and design and act and direct together. So all three parts of that create the company. So it's important for us that they are able to have this experience as part of their summer program.
Tell us a little bit about the children's author and native son, Mo Willems.
Mo Willems is amazing. I've actually been able to be involved in a touring production that came to Newman a few years back. His folks came to that production, which is really cool. He's in New York now, and he's still writing books and turning those books into musicals and plays. It's always so much fun, and I feel like he's got this great brand of humor that makes me chuckle. I'm really excited to see the next stuff that Mo puts out, because everything has always been quality and fun and so neat that he hails from this city.
And I think, too, something I love about him as a creator of work for kids and young people is I feel like the best work for young people is stuff that doesn't talk down to them. It takes them seriously. It takes their concerns seriously. And I have this really distinct memory of losing a beloved stuffed animal as a kid and just how devastating that was. I cried for weeks and weeks and weeks. And I feel like he captures the spirit of that and says, this isn't frivolous. No, this is really important to little people in our lives. And also, I feel like in his books and in his plays, he just makes so much space for the audience. And in the play, you know, there's lots of spaces. Dad has to ask the audience, have you seen the Knuffle Bunny? So the audience is a big part of solving the biggest problem of the play. And I really love that about him.
And what about the music? Who wrote it?
The music is written by Michael Silverscher, who is a constant collaborator with him as well. It's got a lot of marimba, a lot yes. of xylophone, and has like a childlike quality to it. It's got good bounce and movement. It really just captures your heart and brings you with it.
Some of my favorite bits are when out of nowhere the electric guitar comes in. When the electric guitar comes in and the riffs and the awesome guitar licks come in, you're like, whoa, this is completely out of left field. It fits, but okay. And you know, I remember choreographing the pieces with the performers. It was a really collaborative choreography with everybody, and the first time that we had gone all the way through Aggle Flaggle Clabble, which is the gibberish ballad, which ends in probably a minute and a half of the most righteous guitar solo with drums in the background. It's just big and heated and then like this giant climax of music, and we listen through it and then kind of stops. Oh, this is what do we do with this? And then we came up with the best solution, which is so much fun. And it was driven by the music all throughout the play. I think that's a really good description of the music, too, is it drives the show.
What is the reaction of your young audience when they see their favorite characters come to life on stage?
Oh, I think that's maybe the best part. Mm-hmm. And why I love that, you know, in our second Summer of Theater for Young Audiences at Southern Rep, we went with another Mo Willems book. And part of the reason was I love that kids and families come in knowing the story and having their own memories and experiences of like reading these books together. So when you first come into the theater, you'll see Knuffle Bunny on the steps on stage. So the moment they come in, they're like, boom, there's Knuffle Bunny. We see them. And I think it just gets them invested and ready to play along with us, you know.
And after each production, your favorite characters come to what we call our Lanyap stage, which is our secondary stage in the lobby bar area at Southern Rep. And they'll be on the Lanyap stage so you can take pictures and get autographs from your favorite characters. And they get to meet Knuffle Bunny right there and take pictures with Trixie and Knuffle Bunny and Mom and Dad in costume and in character, which is really fun. The crowd from the shows that I've gotten to sit in the audience for, very secretly just looking around going, oh, I hope they like it. It's so much fun to have the little ones so absorbed in the performance that they want to be a part of it. So one of my favorite moments that I've already gotten to experience is when Dad's like, can you say Daddy, Trixie? Daddy, Daddy. And trying to coach his kid to say her first words and it being Daddy. And about two rows behind me, I hear a little one go, Daddy! And then I hear what I assume was a brother and sister going in a very terrible sotto voce whisper, no, not you. Trixie has to say it. I'm giggling and everybody else is waiting because there hadn't been a punchline yet. And everybody's looking like, why are you laughing? It's like, just nothing. Just wait for the punchline. But it's great because that's where the crowd is with it. That's where the kids are. They're so engaged with it because they know Trixie. They know Dad. They know Mom. They know Knuffle Bunny. They want to help.
Is there a life lesson they might carry away from the show?
Oh, I think that's a great question. I think it's that it's important to say how you feel, and it's important to ask for what you want as a little kid, as a young person, and also that it's important to care for the things that you love. You know, it's clear that Trixie has a great relationship with Knuffle Bunny, and that's her friend. And in the Dream Ballet that Alex alluded to, you know, you see them playing with one another and how important she is. And so I think there's lessons about that, about taking care of what you want and also not being afraid to say how you feel, even if those feelings are hard, you know, because I think sometimes for young people, there can be the pressure to be happy all the time or be okay. And it's hard for them to say like, oh, I'm kind of sad right now. But I think Trixie says like, I'm sad and how can we fix it? And it's through the family working together that they can solve the problem.
Southern Rep's Education Director, Helen Jacks, and Director, Alex Smith. Thanks for sharing this family adventure.
Thank you so much. We hope everyone will come out and see it.
It's a great time. Please do come join us.
Southern Rep Theater presents Mo Willems' Knuffle Bunny, a cautionary musical, with performances running now through July 21st at Southern Rep Theater, 2541 Bayou Road. More info is online at southernrep.com. That's our show for this week. Major support for Inside the Arts comes from the Hellas Foundation. Additional support comes from Christwood Retirement Community, the Contemporary Arts Center, and the New Orleans Opera Association. Our program is a production of WWNO and is archived at WWNO.org. I'll be back with more ideas for your artistic palette on Tuesdays at 1 p.m., Wednesdays at 8:30 p.m., and a shortened edition on Thursday mornings at 8:45 when we'll go Inside the Arts. I'm Diane Mack.